Okay, good morning, Rabbi Say. Good Chodesh to everybody. And as always, welcome everyone to our Sunday morning shiur. We're starting, obviously, late today because of Rosh Chodesh. I will make an attempt to make up the time, but I don't think it's going to be too successful. The topic of today's shiur is based on a pasuk in yesterday's parsha. We find that smelling played a role in the story, in the dramatic story of Yaakov Avinu getting the bracha from Yitzchak. The Torah tells us here in Parshas Toldos, we have it on the sheet in Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Zayin. The Torah says, "Vayigash, vayishaklo." The Torah says that Yitzchak Avinu came close to Yaakov, kissed him, "Vayorach esreach begodav," and he sniffed, he smelled the smell of his clothing, "Vayvarchei," when he blessed him, "Vayomer," and he said, "Re'ei Reach b'ni," behold the fragrance, the aroma of my son is kareach sode asher berecho Hashem, is like the smell of the field that Hashem has blessed, which the Chazal say is the reference to Gan Eden, that he sniffed the smell of Gan Eden in Yaakov Avinu, and it was with that in mind that he gave him the bracha. So I figured that this would be a springboard to speak about a topic which is not well known in halacha, but presents itself pretty often, and that is the whole inyan of Birchas Hareach. Birchas Hareach is a bracha that is made over a pleasant smell. Okay, a bracha that is made over a pleasant smell is listed amongst the brachas that we have. And in fact, there are five different brachas that are said. If a person wants to enter into some sort of brachas contest and say, you know, all the brachas that could possibly be made, there are five of them that have to do with pleasant smells. And the basis for this is in the Gemara in Brachas. If you turn over the sheet to the second side of the first sheet, the sheets were made at the last minute. I apologize, and may not be in order. The Gemara tells us in Brachas on Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis from the top line, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvya Amar Rav, Minayin Shemavarchan Al Areach, says the Gemara, from where do we know that one says a bracha on a pleasant smell? Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Kol HaNeshama Taharol Ka, that every neshama literally means every neshama, every soul will praise Hashem. However, in this drasha, the Chazal are interpreting the Pasuk homiletically, that the neshama itself will praise Hashem. So says the Gemara, is a dover shahana shama nanis mimenu. How do you have that a person's neshama should praise Hashem? Or is what is the neshama of a person? What does the soul of a person get in this world that is tangible that it could praise Hashem for? Says the Gemara, what is the type of thing that the neshama benefits from? But in guf nana mimenu, and the guf, the body, does not benefit from. Havayomer is der hareach. Says the Gemara, this is a reference to an aroma, to a pleasant smell. Because when you think about it, everything else that we have, that we say brachas for, we say brachas over food we have here today, brachas that people make before and after eating. But the benefit of eating food is for the guf, it's for the physical person, the food enters into a person's body, provides a certain nutrition, right? Even donuts do that, I believe, on some level, provide a certain nutrition, a benefit, an enjoyment. But the reality is that a smell, a pleasant smell, doesn't do anything for a person's guf. However, a person can enjoy a pleasant smell and be, you know, very much his spirit, the spirit of the person can be raised by the fact that I smelled such a wonderful thing. So the Chazal say this is the davar shanishoma nanim imenu. This is the type of thing that the neshoma of the person, this is a spiritual enjoyment. A spiritual enjoyment in the sense that it doesn't affect the person on a physical level, but this is on a spiritual level, kol ha-neshama ta'al ka. And the truth of the matter is, Rabosa, if we think about it, there is a connection that we find in the Torah in many places between smell and ruchnias. For every time a carbon is brought, if you look in Parshas Pinchas, or even if you look in Parshas Noach, when Noach offered a carbon after he came out of the Teva, after the Mabul, so it says that Hashem smelled the reach nicholach, right? We say by every carbon, reach nicholach isho Hashem, should be a pleasant smell, a reach nicholach to Hashem. So, not that God has a sense of enjoyment from a physical type of thing, but nevertheless, that this expression is used because this is a more of a spiritual type of thing, a pleasant aroma, a pleasant is the type of thing that can make a person give a person a special feeling, and this exists kivayochol even with the Rabbanu Shalom. So therefore, we have this idea that a person has to say a bracha upon a pleasant smell. Now, what I'd like to try to cover in the time that we have, we're running late, obviously, there are many types of smells that could be involved in this, and as we know, obviously, it would be pertinent to a whole range of things, a good-smelling cup of coffee, perfume, cologne, estrogen, flowers, tobacco, a whole range of things that present to people pleasant smells. And when a bracha is said, if a bracha is said, and so forth, that's what I would like to try to cover. Now, it happens to be that the bracha of Reach is said only, is one of the only brachas, if not the only bracha that we have, that's said on an enjoyment where there is no bracha achrona. In other words, when you eat food, so at the end, if you had a shear of food and you ate it within the time that it's normal to eat such food, so then you say a bracha achrona as well. However, when it comes to the Birchas HaReach, because of the fact that it's ein bo mamish, because of the fact that there's nothing that has no real substance, so therefore, only a bracha rishona was said, the Chazal called a hanah meletes, but nevertheless, it is a hanah that a person has to say a bracha for. Now one will ask that if this is so, so then if the Chazal mandated a bracha for anything that a person gets any sort of enjoyment from, so there are other things in life that people get enjoyment from that we don't have a bracha for. For example, let's say you hear a good singer, you hear some good music, a nice niggin, a person goes to a kumzitz or whatever, and you get into a good niggin, zmiris, whatever it may be, you don't say a bracha on that. Right, a person beholds a spectacular view, a person stands by Niagara Falls, and there may be a bracha because it's one of the neflos Hashem, but I won't use that example, but let's say a person just stands, sees a very nice view, so you don't say a bracha on that. A person who was sitting in the dark and all of a sudden someone makes light for him, so now he could see, now he could read, you don't say a bracha for that. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us here, this is on the second sheet, on the first side of the second sheet, the Mishnah Berurah tells us in Siman Reish Tes Zayin, Sifkat and Dalid, towards the end of the piece, he says that Dafka Reach Tiknu Chachamim Bracha, that it's only on Reach that they instituted a bracha and not on singing. Okay, why? She'ein bo mamish, because that has no substance to it. V'keimol Tiknu Bracha Rechitzu Kedome Mishum Dein Chassim Leguf. And on, let's say, for example, a person has a good shower, right? Or a person, you know, that type of thing. There is no bracha that's said for that, even though you say, well, that was enjoyable. So the answer is because it lacks two things. First of all, it has no substance to it, really. And primarily, it doesn't go into a person's body. It's not absorbed in any way. A smell, a pleasant smell, you take it in. So even though it has no substance, but you take it in, you imbibe it. So therefore, that goes into the guf. So for that, they made a bracha. But anything that does not go into the guf, as enjoyable as it may be, right, a person who was at the game where the Heat won the championship this past spring, so you say, well, what bracha do you say for that? Right, so the answer is you don't say any bracha. What do you mean? But I had such a great enjoyment. I had such a simcha from that. The answer is, but it didn't do anything. It didn't go into your guf. It didn't go into your guf. Right? So therefore, for that, there is no bracha. But something that enters into a person's guf, for that, there is a bracha. If it's a physical, tangible thing, then you say a bracha beforehand and after. If it's just something that goes in but has no mamashis, like a smell, so then you say a bracha before and not after. Yes, sir.
That
are what?
Absorb through the skin. Like a
nicotine patch. I don't know if the hanor is a hanor, it just prevents a person from doing something destructive. I'm not sure. I don't know. But that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Now, this is the idea of the Birchas Areach. And again, this isn't taken, people don't, I think, very much not aware of this, but it comes up a lot. Now, what are the brachas of the Birchas Hareach? So if one looks in a siddur, I really should have put it on the sheet. If one looks in a siddur, there are many brachas. There are five different brachas. Okay? If a person says, if a person smells something which grows on a tree, for example, the tree itself, or the leaves or the flowers of a tree, so the bracha that would be said would be, Baruch, I'm reading this out of a siddur, Baruch Ata Hashem, Okeinu Melech Olam, Borei Atzei B'Samim. Okay? Who has created the Atzei, the wood, the from a tree of trees of fragrance. Okay, if it's something that grows from the ground, let's say herbs or flowers that grow from the ground, so then it's Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Borei Isvei B'Samim. Isvei B'Samim means the grass that has a fragrant smell, the thing which grows from the ground which has a fragrant smell. What happens if it's neither from a tree or from the ground? Let's say musk, which is the example the Poskim give, which at least in previous times was an extract of an animal, which had a very good smell to it. So for that we have the bracha Borei Minei B'Samim, okay, which is the bracha that we're familiar with from Havdalah, which I'll get to. What happens if it's a pleasant fruit? If it's a pleasant smelling fruit, so then the bracha is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hanosein Reach Tov BaPeros. Hashem has put a pleasant smell in peros, okay, the fans of smelling a srogan might want to keep this in mind. Okay? And finally, we have a special bracha for balsam because of the fact that balsam is a fragrance which grows primarily in Eretz Yisrael, or at least it used to. And for that, the Gemara in Brachas tells us that the Chazal instituted a special bracha because it is the Eretz Yisrael smell, and that is Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Shemen Orev, who has created a pleasant smell. An oil that gives a pleasant smell. Okay, so there you have it. This can be found in any siddur. Any siddur that lists off the brachas, the Birchas Hananin, which virtually every siddur does, at somewhere in between Shachris and Mincha, usually they put it, okay, different places in different siddurim, you could find these brachas. Okay, now, so you'll say, well, if this is true, then how come I've never heard about this before? Or how come I'm not used to saying this bracha? After all, I'm used to saying the bracha Barimini Mizonos, right? I'm used to saying the bracha Shakoni Abedvar. How come I'm not used to saying these brachas? So the answer is that it's not always so simple, because there are certain things that make it a little bit, that sort of cloud the issue, that make it not such a simple thing when you say the bracha and when you don't. And one of them is the Gemara, that is based on a Gemara that we find here in Brachas. It's on the first page, the second side of the first sheet, where the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, B'samim shel Beis HaKiseh, a fragrance that was used in the Beis HaKiseh, that was used in a bathroom to remove the foul odor. V'shemen ha'osli lahavir sazuama, an oil that is made to remove a bad smell, like some sort of deodorizer, the deodorant. Ein mevarchen alav. You don't say a bracha on these things. Meaning that obviously you wouldn't say a bracha in a bathroom anyway. But the point is that if something is a deodorizer for a bathroom, and you happen to like the way it smells, so let's say you say, okay, so I'm going to spray a little of it outside the bathroom before I use it in the bathroom, and then, you know, because I like the smell. So for that, a person would not say a bracha because of the fact that the purpose of that item is not to give a pleasant smell, but rather to counterbalance a foul odor. If it was made to counter a foul odor, then you don't say a bracha on it because of the fact, as the Gemara says, that it's not avid l'reicha. It was not made, it was not put there for the purpose of giving forth a good smell, but rather to counter something else. So therefore, deodorant, or any sort of deodorizer, if a person likes the way it smells, so you would not say a bracha on it, because of the fact that it's not made for that. It's not made to give a pleasant smell. It's made to give a smell, it's made to give an aroma that counters an odor. So that type of thing is not called avid l'reicha. So now, with that in mind, now you'll say, alright, so how far reaching does that go? So let's just continue here in the Gemara, because this is going to get a little bit tricky. So the Gemara says, Meisve. The Gemara challenges this. The Gemara says, are you going to tell me, I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Lameimra, are you going to say the Kohecha, the Rav Lerecha, Avida, Lomavarchanoa? Are you going to tell me that any time it was not made for a positive Reach, you don't say a Bracha? Meisve, the Gemara challenges this. Hanichnas l'chanusel shobosem. The Hiriach Reach, if a person goes into a perfume store, if a person goes into a store that sells pleasant smelling items, so a few yashav shav kol yom einu mevarech al pam achas. So the Gemara says that the person who goes into such a store, so the question is the proprietor of the store, if he goes in and out of the store all day long, how many brachos does he say? So the Gemara basically says that he says only one bracha at the beginning of the day, and that covers the entire day. But the question is that why is he saying a bracha at all? In his store, the items were not put there to make a pleasant smell, but rather, says the Gemara, they were put there for business. He's not putting it there because he's trying to give a good smell to his store. He is displaying his goods because he wants people to come and buy them. So what we said, so the Gemara is challenging that you see it's not a vidul erecha. You see that apparently a person says a bracha even on something that was not put there to make a good smell, which we'll discuss this in a minute. To which the Gemara answers, I'm skipping a little bit. The Gemara says that, the Gemara says, l'erecha nami hu davida. The Gemara says, no, the reason why that man says a bracha is because when he puts out his spices, his pleasant smelling spices, or his perfumes in the store, he's putting it there not just that people should buy, but he wants the store to have a good smell. Because he wants people to walk in and say, ah, it smells so good in here, I want to buy some of this stuff. So therefore, when he displays his merchandise, his intention is not simply to put it there for business, it's not simply put there for commercial reasons, but it's also, he has the kavana that I want it to smell good in here. I want it to smell good. You walk into such a store, they're always careful to make sure that it smells very, it has a very wonderful smell, because that creates a certain atmosphere, puts a person in the mood of buying. So this, thus, says the Gemara, that explains why a merchant in a store would say a bracha on the good smell that comes from his merchandise. But what emerges from this Gemara is that apparently were it not for that, he would not say a bracha. Meaning that if something has a good smell, but the good smell is incidental, it was not put there for the intention of having a good smell, it wasn't put there to entice people to buy. But rather, it just so happens to be that because they're selling these things, it has a good smell. So in such a case, it emerges from the Gemara that a person would not say a bracha. And this may complicate matters a great deal when we walk into a store. Yes, guys.
Right. The implication is also here that people walking into the store that are smelling each one because they want the reaction to see which one.
Right. Right. So they are getting, right. So, okay, very, very good point. So then also though, that's a very good point, that also by implication would come out that if a person walked into the store and said, let's see, I want to buy this, and he picks on, let's see if this is a good one. He picks it up and he smells it, so then maybe he should say a bracha because of the fact that he in fact is doing it for that purpose. Okay.
So,
the bracha comes before, but the bracha comes before, as long as you're still smelling it, you can still say the bracha. As well, the same thing like with food. In other words, even if you took a bite and you didn't say a bracha, but as long as you keep eating, you can continue to say a bracha, so too over here. So now, with this being the case, the question would come up if, in a situation where the smell was not intended. For example, if you're walking outside of a perfume factory, so if you're walking outside a perfume factory, we'll get to the question of whether you say a bracha on perfume altogether soon. But let's just assume for now that you would say a bracha on perfume. Okay, so if you're walking outside, I've never done it myself, but I would have to imagine that it must be quite an amazing smell in such a place. Okay, or cologne, whatever it may be, it must be quite an impressive smell. But the reason why the smell is there is because that's where they make the perfume. They're not trying to impress anybody. That's the factory. That's where they make it. Right? It just happens, it comes by itself. That's an incidental hanah. So if you were walking past such a place, so then since that smell was not aviv l'reicha, and there you can't say that they're doing it because they want to entice you to buy it. And nor can you pick it up in your hand and sniff it, because that's not an option, obviously, by a perfume factory. So in such a situation, one would not say a bracha, because the hana, the benefit that you're getting, is incidental. Meaning that, not that it's incidental to you, but it was generated in an incidental manner. It wasn't put there for that purpose. What emerges from this gemara is a major qualification in the halacha, that the halacha is only true in a case where it's aviv l'reicha. It has to be that it was put there that a person should enjoy. Okay. So now, that being the case, so we said again, so something that was made to take away a foul odor, a person would not say a bracha on. Okay, that's something with deodorizer, a person would not, deodorant, anything like that. Okay, in a situation where it was not put there for the purpose of generating a good smell, that you would also not say a bracha. Yeah, go ahead.
What if it's something that's made from,
I'm gonna get to that. So now that being the case, so a person who walks into a store, let's say you walk into a flower shop. Okay, so here you'd have to make a distinction. If you're in an open market, or let's say the fellows who sell the flowers in the street, whatever it is. Now let's say you got close enough that you could get a good whiff of they're selling roses or lilies, which generally have a very good smell, or something like that. So if you got close enough that you could take a whiff of it, even if you enjoy it, you would not say a bracha on that, because the merchant in that case, he's selling in the street. So he can't create a smell to entice a customer. It just happens by itself. He's not trying to do that. In a flower shop, however, one could question whether that's so. In other words, it could be that the proprietor of the store, he wants it to smell good. You walk into the store, it's so geschmack, it's so wonderful to walk into the store. I just feel like buying flowers. So you sort of have to make a judgment call. If you feel that is in fact the case, it's hard to say every situation. You know, generally speaking, if it's just in the midst of like an Eretz Yisrael, they have a shuk, you know, it's like a big market, a person walks into the Machne Yehuda market, so they're selling everything under the sun, one booth next to the next, so therefore, you know, in that type of situation, you can't really say that there's an intention to lure you in. However, in a flower shop or in a perfume store, it could be that it is. So therefore, that would be a judgment. If in fact you felt that was the case, then it seems that the consensus of the postman was that a person would make a bracha on that. Assuming he enjoys it. If you don't enjoy it, you don't say a bracha. But if you would enjoy it, in that type of situation, you would say a bracha. Okay, now, another complicating inyan is the fact that there is a din in the Gemara, which unfortunately not on the sheet, is that one of the other requirements for this bracha to be said is that it has to be yesh lo ikar. It has to be that there's something tangible there that is generating the smell. But if there is nothing present that's generating the smell, then you wouldn't say a bracha either. For example, your esrog box, okay? A person has a box, let's say, that he keeps his esrog in every year on Sukkot. Okay, now generally speaking, even after Sukkot is over, people don't take out the esrog, they just put it away in the box and they leave it there. So you come 2 months later and you decide, alright, now the esrog is just a pit, it's time to discard it or whatever you're gonna do with it, right? But the box itself still has a very good smell. It has a very good smell because that's where your esrog has sat for now for several months. So you'll say, well, it's so delicious, the smell, I love sniffing the box, it has that wonderful esrog smell. So there, you would not say a bracha either, because there's nothing tangible that you're saying. What are you saying the bracha on? It happens to be that there is a smell embedded, there's an aroma that's embedded in this item, but there's nothing tangible, there's no item there that's generating that smell. So that being the case, you would not say a bracha on that either. And so too, that would be the case if you had clothing that came back from the dry cleaners, that let's say they put a nice smell and has that freshly laundered smell, and you really, you know, some people get high on that type of smell. Ah, gewaldig, you know, that smell from the dry cleaners, especially after you paid all that money, right? So now you got the good smell. So that also you wouldn't say a bracha on, because the smell is in the clothes. In other words, the thing that's generating the smell no longer exists. It's not, or at least it's not in front of you. Well, you're getting a second-hand aroma. This is something that because the smell was put into the clothing, now the clothing smells good. So now you're gonna come, but it's ain lo ikar. Okay? Now, that being the case,
yeah, that would apply everything in secondhand. Any perfume, cologne.
Oh, okay, got that right now. So that being the case, if a person is wearing cologne or perfume, and the perfume has already been absorbed into the body, in other words, the original spray, the original spritz, right? So there's something there. There's some moisture there. But after a few moments, it gets absorbed. So then you would not say a bracha on that because of the fact that it's not there anymore. However, if you held a bottle of perfume in your hand where all the perfume is there, so then that would be different because that's Yeshua liquor. There the perfume is present. The smell, the source of the smell is present. But if it is in a situation where it's already been absorbed in a person's guf, so then halacha is that a person would not say a smell. We would not say a bracha. And the truth of the matter is that if you look in the second part of the second sheet, okay, the Rambam pretty much, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, but I just brought from the Rambam because he summarizes the rules pretty quickly. Alright, in Perek Tes Halacha Ches in the Rambam says that there are certain things, actually we'll go back to Zion. There are three types, says the Rambam, Shlosha Mine Reach Tov Ein Mevarech and Aleihem. There are three types of pleasant smells that you don't say a bracha on them. Ve'eru Hein. Reach Tov She'osur L'Hariach Bo. The first one would be, which we haven't covered yet, a pleasant aroma that you're not allowed to smell. Okay, which we'll soon see. Ve'reach Tov He'osur L'Havir Reach Ra. And a pleasant smell that was made to remove a bad smell, just to counter a bad odor. And finally, Ve'reach Tov Shlo Nasa L'Hariach Ba'atmo She'reach Zeh. And finally, a good smell, the third thing is what we were just discussing, where it's a pleasant smell, but the thing that's generating the smell is not what you're sniffing. In other words, like with dry, clean clothes, or things like that. Okay, so the Rambam continues and says, Ketzad, what would be examples of this? Bisamim shel avodah zara. If a person walks by avodah zara, in America not that common, but if you went traveling to countries where avodah zara is still very much in practice, a church could be that, if they had some sort of incense and you say, well, you know, I must admit it does smell pretty good. So you're not supposed to smell that because that would be a question of deriving benefit from avodah zara. And that being the case, even if a person enjoyed it and did smell it, you wouldn't say a bracha on that. The Gemara continues and says, the Rambam continues and says, "Ubesamim sha'al erva min ha'arayis." So too, if a woman who is not your wife is wearing perfume and you smell it and you say, well, that actually smells pretty good. I enjoy that smell. Right? You can't say a bracha on that because you're not supposed to smell that. A person's not supposed to sniff that because this is a question of kiruv l'arayis. This is the type of thing that brings a person closer. This type of behavior obviously could lead to bigger, greater problems. So therefore that type of thing also, because you're not supposed to sniff it, and the Mishnah Berurah says, although it's not on the sheet, that this applies even to an unmarried woman or a single girl, would be the same thing, that a person is not supposed to smell that. So because you're not supposed to smell it, you shouldn't say a bracha on it either. Yes?
But didn't we already say that you shouldn't say a bracha on perfume that you smell on anybody?
Right, no, so I'm saying, so I assume the Rambam means that if, when it was freshly spritzed, in other words, if it was just put on, or in the old, the truth of the matter is, really, the perfume style has changed. If you look in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch even, it seems that in the olden times, they didn't have it so much in a spray like we have it, but rather people actually, women wore around their necks some sort of, a kupa shel besamim, the Chazal referred to it. They wore some sort of item that contained besamim. It contained fragrances, so there it has mamushes. There it actually has a substance to it, and it's right there. There it is. The thing that's giving the good smell is right there. So, but nevertheless, because this person is, you're not supposed to be sniffing that. If it's a person's own wife, that's something else. But if it's somebody else, then you can't do it. Yeah, I'm sorry.
When a woman or anybody puts perfume on them, before it gets absorbed into the skin,
right,
it comes out.
Right.
Well, here's why shouldn't you have to make a bracha first for that?
Okay. Good. Okay. So now we come to the question of, in general. So what about when a woman or a man who puts on cologne, right, pleasant smelling cologne, so if you first put it, you know, if you spray it on your hand first, let's assume, right, or something like that, so, and it, while it's there, do you have to say a bracha or not? So this happens to be is a very big debate amongst the contemporary poskim, as I say, and the reason for this debate, even though it's clear in the Gemara that the issue of besamim that people wore for aroma, what we would call perfume today, was in practice for forever, and there was a real discussion of saying a bracha on it. But today, the perfume industry has changed, right? It has gotten very, very sophisticated. And there are several questions that come up with perfume. One of them is, if it's natural perfume, which generally is going to be on the high-end perfumes or high-end colognes, if it's natural, meaning that it was extracted, from a natural type of plant or something like that, so then it seems pretty clear, according to everybody, that you would say a bracha on that. Again, before it got absorbed, in a situation where it was permissible to do so, a person would say a bracha on that because that has the qualifications. Right? And even though you may say, yeah, but it's an extract of a plant, so maybe it's a davar she'ein bo mamish, you'll say, what do you have now? It's just a bottle with some liquid in it, but how much of that liquid percentage-wise is really the fragrance and how much is other stuff, and maybe it should be bottle. You can make all kinds of learned, challenges to this, but it seems that if it were that alone, they would pretty much the consensus would be that you would say a bracha. However, on the lower end of perfumes and colognes, it seems that a lot of them are made synthetically, and in some cases they're actually made from. I did not know this, but this was stated by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who claims that he spoke to people in the business that some of them are actually extracted from items that don't have a good smell. But the industry is so sophisticated that through chemical manipulation, they could break down items and identify that within a certain thing, there's a good smell. And even though that item in itself does not have a good smell, but if you break it down chemically, you could take that good smell and put it in your perfume, and there you have it. And it happens to be that the perfume industry, especially the women's perfume industry, is a highly secretive industry. It's a billion-dollar industry, and everybody has their secret that they won't tell how you got it to smell this way, and so forth. So it's very often hard to get to the bottom of it. So this is a very great controversy that exists, whether in such a thing you would say a bracha on a synthetic, lower-end type of perfume. What do you say, Rabbi? But it has a smell, right? But so Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said that even though it has a smell, but the only time you say a bracha on a smell, on an extract good smell, is if it was extracted from something that had a good smell. But if it was extracted from something that had a foul smell, so then because in itself it's a secondary item. It's like a Right, that's what he said. I don't know. That's what he said. This is brought in several svarim in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa. It's brought in Halicha Shlomo, which is
a completely new object. Is this not?
Right, I understand, but he's saying the thing itself that you're smelling is an extract of something that has a foul smell, and therefore that type of thing the Chazal never intended. You should say a bracha, and even if you enjoy that smell. In other words, if somehow you chemically broke down tar. And something in the smell, tar is a very foul odor, but if there's something in there that may be good, you know, just like we have the reverse by the Ketores, right? The Ketores famous thing, that one of the ingredients in the Ketores was chelvenah, which had a bad smell, right? But nevertheless, that was included. You could have the reverse situation also, that you could have a foul smelling item that has some good in it. So if Shlomo Zalman held, this is what he said, that if it's taken from that, you don't say it. Now, the consensus, most people did not agree with that. However, because of his stature, so a lot of people on a low-end perfume would not say a bracha, even if you met all the other requirements. In other words, even if you met all the other requirements. Yes, I'm sorry.
I don't want to belabor the point.
Yeah.
You're talking about when something's free from a foul smell that's going back to, you don't say a bracha on something to cover up a foul smell.
Right.
What if it's chemically made, so it's not really from anything, but it has
totally chemically
themselves made. Have no smell.
No smell
until they're combined.
Right. So good. That's a good question. So the question is being asked: what if it was just chemically made from scratch? So I don't know. It seems that there seems to be some debate. In the various contemporary svarim, you'll see every opinion under the sun. It depended who they asked. They asked Rav Scheinberg Zatzal. He said that you should say a bracha on it. They asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He said you should not say a bracha on it. There are a lot of opinions out there. There are people that do and people that don't. There is a sefer that quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein, who said that, okay, now here's a quote that you can see what you want to do with it, that he said that by Havdalah, now let's say you come Havdalah, so it happens a lot of times, at least it happens to me, you come to Havdalah, oh, we don't have it, where's the Pesamim? You know, one of the kids knocked over the Pesamim last week, it all got thrown in the garbage, what do you have? And it's already, everyone's rushing, come on, let's make Havdalah, we need Pesamim. So the wife says, here, take my perfume, say Barmin Pesamim, on my perfume. Can you do that or not? So it would seem you should be able, according to those who say a bracha is warranted, you should be able to do that. So they have a quote that Rav Moshe Feinstein said you shouldn't do it for Havdalah. Okay, now you could make anything you want out of that. You could say, only for Havdalah you shouldn't, but for other things you would say a bracha. Or you could say that he meant you don't say it for Havdalah, because that's the common case, and he really meant that you don't say it in other cases either. So it's not clear. It's not clear. So for that reason, there are those that do and those that don't. As I say, it's only a question if it's a lower end, if you have high end stuff, or you know how it's made. You know this is natural. Or it's coming from really fragrant items. In other words, they took 10, 20, 30 items that are fragrant, and they made their extracts and put it all together and made a perfume out of that. So then everybody would agree that you should say a bracha on it. Why Moshe held you shouldn't say for Havdalah, I don't know. But it seems pretty much everyone agrees. The question is only by a synthetic type of thing. Okay. Okay. Now, so this is something that we have to just bear in mind. But there are those that do that. If a person says a bracha even on the lower end cologne or lower end perfume, you can't say they're wrong. There is who to base it on. But as I say, there are people that say that you shouldn't do it. Okay. Now. Another question that comes up is coffee. Okay, you walk into the shir, exactly right. You walk into this shir and you say, I'm so happy I came. Right? Forget about the shir, but where are you going to get coffee like this?
Coffee cream.
Where are you going to get coffee like this? Right, the best coffee in town. So do you say a brach on that or not? And even if you went to lesser places like Starbucks or Krispy Kreme, or things like that, where obviously inferior products, but nonetheless, you walk in there, has a good smell. So do you say a bracha on that or not? So this is actually discussed in the Mishnah Berurah, which unfortunately is not on the sheet, but believe it or not, the Mishnah Berurah says in Simin Reish Tez Zayin, Sif Katan Tez Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah says that Ayin Dachua, he says, Kasvu Achronim, Hameriah coffee kasusha, if a person smells ground coffee, vihichama, and it is hot, sherecha nodef, that it has a very pleasant aroma, for adam ne'ne me'oso reach, and a person benefits from this, a person enjoys this reach, soich levoich birchas asher nosan reach tov beperis. You hear this? This is what he says. Mishnah Berurah, black and white. Mishnah Berurah says, if you walk in to a coffee shop, and it has that very good smell. You enjoy that smell. Sometimes it's worth going in there. If you like the smell, it's worth it just to smell the coffee. Right? Like the expression, wake up and smell the coffee. Even if it doesn't say anything about drinking it. Right? Just smelling it already gives a person a high. If you enjoy that, you're supposed to say the bracha, bracha to Hashem, okay, bracha, rama, nosin reach tov beperis. Amazing. Right? So there you have it. Okay, it happens to be the Sfaradim will not follow this because in the Kaf HaChaim, which is one of the sources of halacha that the Sfaradim look to, he does not agree. But nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah seems to be certainly amongst Ashkenazim, the prevailing opinion, a person would do that. Now, I don't want to give away the secrets of the coffee and the shir, but it's highly, highly questionable if that would apply to freeze-dried coffee. In other words, it's not really the same, right? But if it's fresh ground coffee, or if you walked into a coffee shop, or a place where they sell coffee, right, where they sell coffee beans, or ground coffee, you walk in there, it's made on my boy, you walk just from aisle to aisle, it's unbelievable, right? So in a situation like that, would you say a bracha? So it would seem that you would, yes.
Chains, they actually use machines that make aromas to actually draw people in, for example.
And it's not coming from the coffee?
And I'm sure some of it is, but that strong smell is talking about the source.
All right, well, okay. What a world. Yeah, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry? Yeah. Go ahead.
Coffee is an aromatic.
Yes.
The bean being made into a liquid is a secondary.
Right. Right, but it still has the mamash. It's still
no. But I'm saying, yeah. So certainly, when you smell the ground coffee, or even the whole coffee
right,
beans,
right. You should.
That
you should
coming from
right. You should. That's it. Then you should say the bracha for sure. That's what you're suggesting, right?
Right. So, but I'm wondering why there would ever have been a question about
it. Why would there be a question about it? Okay. So really, why is there a question?
Why would anybody raise a question?
So the reason why there's a question about it is as follows, and this is something which is very. This is the final complication to this halacha. We said before that a smell that is incidental, you don't say a bracha. Now the question is, what about something that has a good smell, but it wasn't made for that? Like, for example, a person goes into their kitchen, so a woman has a spice rack that has a lot of things that have good smells, so cinnamon, right? You have there among several other items that have very good smells, but they weren't made for that. Like, cinnamon happens to have a good smell, but you're taking the cinnamon and you're putting it into an item, you're putting it into a cake, so that the cake should taste good. Not that it should have a good smell. So if you're baking the cake and you open up the cinnamon container and the good smell comes out, you for sure would not say a bracha on that because of the fact that that's an incidental benefit that you're not trying to get. But the question is, what happens if the woman who's baking or the man who's baking, whatever it is, says that, while I'm making the cake, I would like cinnamon. Wow, great. Let me take a sniff. So according to the Mishnah Brura, it seems that you would say a bracha on that. As long as you did something to demonstrate that you want it, you took it in your hand, as if you're just baking with it, or if a person is eating an orange, and in the midst of eating the orange, yet you smell the nice smell of the orange, but that wasn't your intention. So therefore, that's an incidental benefit, you don't say a bracha. But what happens if you say, hey, I like this, let me smell it? So here, there is an argument between the Mishnah Brura and the Chazon Ish. Okay, the Mishnah Brura states very clearly that it's on the sheet actually that as long as you take it in your hand to smell it, that's all you need. That's all you need. And if you did that, then that would already qualify. Let me just see quickly if I could find it here. The Mishnah Brura. I can't find it at the moment, but it's clear in the Mishnah Brura that for such a thing you would say a bracha. The Chazon Ish, however, disagreed with that. The Chazon Ish said that if it's a spice, if it's a kitchen spice, and it just so happens to be that you enjoy the smell of it, and you want it while you have it, while you're baking, you take a sniff, that's not good enough. That's also, that's called also, it's not a vidu arecha, because it's made for cooking. So the fact that you yourself right now are taking it to smell it, he said that's not good enough. Now this, Rabosai, is the basis, is given as the basis to answer a question that bothered me for many, many years, and I finally got to the bottom of it. And that is, right, a person has, let's say, a Havdalah set. Right, so you make Havdalah, Besamim is part of Havdalah. Right, so you go in certain Judaica stores, and they will sell you Besamim. Right, they have it, and they call it Besamim or whatever they call it. What is it? It's cloves. Right, but you say to yourself, why should I pay $8.99 in this farm store, in the Judaica store, when I could go to Publix and get it for 99 cents for such a bit? And beyond that, you could go even further. Why should there even be a special container that holds besamim? Why do you need that for? Why not, when it comes to besamim, open up the kitchen spice rack, pull out the first thing that has a good smell, and say the bracha, buy me any besamim on that. So one reason you could say, which would explain why there's a special, besamim container, is because you'll say, okay, it's a hidden mitzvah, because since it's used for a mitzvah, so okay, so it's like an estrid box, like we already try to make it nice. But in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Kosher, it says a deeper reason than that. Because according to the Chazon Ish, if the spice that you're saying it on was not designated for that purpose, if it's a cooking spice that just so happens to have a good smell, the Chazon Ish would say you shouldn't say a bracha on that, because that's not called avilu arecha. So even though, generally speaking, we follow the opinion of the Mishnah Brura, and the Mishnah Brura says that as long as your intention is to get a good smell and you took it in your hand to smell it, that alone makes it non-incidental. In other words, there's three levels. If you're eating an orange or you're eating something that has cinnamon, and it just so happens to be that you smell the cinnamon, but you didn't do anything to smell it, then everyone agrees you don't say a bracha. If, however, let's go to the other extreme, right? If it was designated for smell, then even though it's a cooking item, but if you designated it for smell, then for sure you would say a bracha. The in-between case is where it has a good smell and you took it in your hand to smell it, but it isn't made for that. Okay, in other words, that's not why you have it. Why do you have cinnamon in your spice drawer? Not to smell it. You have it there to put in food. So therefore, if that type of situation is a disputed case. So to that, they say that for that reason alone, it's worth having, if a person, it's a hider, but if a person wants to fulfill all the opinions, wants to even get the Chaznish's opinion in there, it's worthwhile to have your own special psalmim for Avdallah, because by there you say, this is made for smelling. The same would be true, theoretically, if you had a jar of cinnamon that you designated for Avdallah. That would also be the same. But I'm just saying, in other words, in order to avoid that, this is why people have a special designated thing for Avdallah. So it's not just a scam if you walk into a Judaica store and they're selling you psalmim and you say, what in the world? Why am I paying for this? Right? This is ridiculous, such a price. So why it's such a price, I don't know. But if you want to know, should you get it or not, it's a nice thing to get it because you fulfill all these opinions. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Quick question.
Good, yeah.
What if clothes
yeah.
you put in
yeah.
the summon box?
Right.
If you took them from an already open container that was in your spice cabinet that you used it for cooking,
you designated it.
Do you have to buy a special?
No. As long as you designate it. As long as you designate it, yeah, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. Okay, just to finish up quickly. So now, what do we have left to cover? So we have tobacco. Okay, now what about that? The person smoking a pipe in particular, or a cigar, a lot of people enjoy that kind of smell. Do you say a bracha on that? So here also there's a big question. There are many poskim that held, and they claimed that they checked this out, that the good smell that is put into tobacco is not necessarily natural, but it's put there to counter the offensive smell of the smoke. And that's why it's like flavored. It's like a flavored cigar, even though no one will ever tell you that, but that's why it's there. So that would be considered like a deodorizer, and that type of thing, you would not say a bracha on. I don't know if you walk in, I know myself, I don't smoke, but if I have walked into tobacco shops, and it's an incredibly delicious smell, at least I find it to be the case. You see the various types of, especially pipe tobaccos, so if you went in there and picked it up to smell it, so, you know, maybe you would say a bracha, I don't know. I don't know if all tobacco is that way, but from a cigarette, for sure, I don't know. Or a cigarette, cigar, they claim that the smoke that the smell is there to counter the smoke and not because it naturally has a good smell. It's inserted into the item. Okay? Now, the last thing would be with fruit. So esrogim, it just so happens to be, is also not commonly known. An esrog, again, because of the fact that the major qualifying halacha is that it has to be avida l'reicha. It has to have been made for the purpose of giving a good smell. So for that reason, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in the laws of Lulav and Esrog, which is found in, again, not on the sheet, but in Simin, Tuf, Reish, Nun, Gimel, and Arachayim, the Shulchan Aruch says that during Sukkot, a person should not smell his Esrog. Okay, contrary to what everybody does when they're bored during Hallel, right? In other words, right, the first day of Sukkot, right, how does it work? The first day of Sukkot, you spend Hallel looking what everybody else has, right? Then you've seen that. So now the second day of Sukkot, right, so now the chazan is kvetching, right, what are you gonna do already? So you need a little bit of chizuk. You have to revive yourself, so you say, oh, perfect! Take a good smell of the esrog. Right, so you're not supposed to do that. Why not? So most people would say because it's huksel a mitzvah, because it was set aside for a mitzvah, and therefore it's prohibited to derive benefit. But that is not the answer. That's not the reason. Because an esrog is used for a mitzvah, but if it wasn't used for a mitzvah, the second thing it would be used for would be for eating. Smelling it is the third consideration. So therefore, really the prohibition of huksel a mitzvah would only apply to eating it. However, there is a question whether the smell of an esrog, you can say a bracha on, during Sukkot, because since it is there for the purpose of a mitzvah, so therefore that's also not avidu erecha. In other words, buy an orange, so even though, it's there to eat, but it's there to get benefit from. So once you're getting the benefit of eating, so you take a sniff of it also, so you might say a bracha on that if you really enjoyed the smell of an orange. But an esrog on Sukkot is totally there for the purpose of a mitzvah. So if that's the case, it is not avidu erecha at all. And that being the case, there are poskim who hold that it would be a bracha of atola to say a bracha on the smelling of an esrog. There are others who disagree and say, no, it's not different than an orange. So because you get into this question, so then it is better during sukkahs, at least during the daytime when you could fulfill the mitzvah of esrog, not to smell it. You want to smell it, you smell it at night, or smell it after sukkahs, and then you would have to say a bracha. Your bracha would be bracha to Hashem, okay, and no nosein reach tov peres. If you really enjoy the smell, you should say that bracha. Yes, sorry. Right, okay, and finally, just in this area of you know these various smells. So again, one should just keep in mind that primarily you have to always ask yourself if it's made for the good smell, if it's made for the good smell or not. Okay, there is a question that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. If a person walks by a bakery, when they're baking the bread. Right, you go into the kosher bakeries on Thursday night, you go in Eretz Yisrael and they're baking the chalas, it's a heavenly scent that you get there. So again, there is a question, do you say a bracha on that or not? This is a question that's brought in Shulchan Aruch, there are various opinions, and for some reason the consensus is that you don't say a bracha on that, I'm not sure what the reason is, you could say that they're not trying to lure you in with that smell, they're not even open for business at that time, I don't know. But that, the Shulchan Aruch says clearly that you don't say a bracha on. But in general, these brachas are brachas that are printed in every siddur. It's worthwhile that a person should be familiar with them, at least because it does come up in situation to situation. If you have flowers in your house and you enjoy the smell of the flowers, I happen to personally, fresh lilies that have that wonderfully fragrant aroma, you walk by and you smell it, so you really should say a bracha on that. The person should say the bracha if it grows from the ground, bari isfei besamen. That's the bracha a person should make. Now, last but not least, when it comes to Havdalah, just one last point. When it comes to Havdalah, the Mishnah Berurah says, and the Poskim say, that regardless of what you're smelling, you should say the bracha bari minei besamim. In other words, even though we said that it depends, if it grows from a tree, so you say the bracha bari atzei besamim. And if it grows from the ground, you say the bracha bari isfei besamim. However, the Ashkenazic practice is, the Sfarim do not agree with what I'm saying, but the Ashkenazic practice is that when you say Havdalah, no matter what, you say the bracha bari minei besamim. The reason for that is because sometimes a person makes Havdalah on one thing, sometimes on another thing, gets confused, could say the wrong bracha. So therefore they made a across-the-board policy. So sometimes in the shul they may use something fancy for besamim. You know, let's say they'll use hadassim or something like that, and some, you know, the person saying Havdalah will try to be clever, you know, and say, bari atzei besamim. That's not the right thing to do. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to say the bracha always by Havdalah, bari minei besamim. That's always the case. If you want to be real tzaddik, you could get something that specifically demands the bracha bari minei besamim, but that doesn't have to be. But whatever the case may be, and also, by the way, in case by Havdalah you don't have besamim, it's no problem. You could just say Havdalah without it. Okay, contrary, so you don't have to go, you know, terrorize your neighbors, right? If you don't have it, you don't have to say the bracha. If you can easily get it, you should, but that's the way it is. But nevertheless, the bracha is always bari minei besamim. Yes?
Do you ever say Shecheyanu with these brachas?
Oh, good question. Do you ever say Shecheyanu on this? So it's brought in the poskim, you don't say Shecheyanu on these brachas because of the fact that the smell of these things is pretty much available all year round, at least in our times. So therefore, really, it's a different discussion what in our times you would ever say Shecheyanu on, because today you have fruits that are always available. If they're not available, if they're out of season here, they're in season in a different part of the world, and the fruit stores, you know, people Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, run to get Shecheyanu fruits. They could get that fruit 365 days a year in Publix. It's not just then. So what are you saying Shecheyanu on it for? It's not a new crop. It's always there. But nevertheless, that's the practice that people have on Rosh Hashanah. Not such a big deal, because you would say to really say Shecheyanu even if you didn't have a new fruit. But during the rest of the year, when it's highly questionable, so then, you know, it's hard to know. But you do not say Shecheyanu on a pleasant smell.